Welcome to the Specify Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Tats Nakagawa of Castagra Products. Each week, I talk to leaders and experts about how to overcome adversity, grow massive organizations, and how to create meaningful change in the building materials and construction industry.
Today's guest is Matt Graves. He's the founder and content creator at Construction Yeti. So Matt, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Tass. I'm actually happy to be here, even though I didn't hit my goal, but you guys snuck me in.
Well, you're doing some great things, so we have to catch up anyway, so why not record it?
I appreciate it, so I'm happy to be here. Thanks, man.
You come from the owner side of the construction industry, correct?
For the last 5 years, I've been on the owner side, yeah. Before that, I was from the subcontractor side, but yeah.
Doing this for a bit, what did you learn through that?
I learned that it's kind of given me, like I say, a 30,000 foot view. That's kind of like a cliche, right? But like when you're like, I was on the subcontractor side before that. And when you're on the subcontractor side, you kind of got your blinders on and you're worried about your scope, your job, your labor, your material, your blah, 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 blah. And you kind of miss the bigger picture. And since I've kind of came to the owner side, now you're kind of sort of elevated above that, right? Like I'm not worried about my labor, but my budgets and this sort of stuff. You're seeing the bigger picture. You're seeing the bigger project. You're seeing how all the pieces are coming together. And you may see that as a general contractor that I didn't see, you know, because I never was on the general contractor side. I was on the subcontractor side, now on the owner rep side. But I've just seen a lot of stuff that like, man, if I were to go back to the subcontractor world, could I put me like with what I've learned now back there? Like, I think I could be a better sort of trade partner. You know what I mean?
Nice. What are the things that subs should be doing?
One thing I've noticed a lot is like, especially like change order proposals, right? The subcontractor, they're thinking they're handing their change order proposal to the general contractor and they'll sell the general contractor, which is true. But the general contractor then has to compile them all together, right? If it's a big scope change, right? So there's a drawing change. There could be five or six trades that are affected, right? And they've got to take all five or six of these together, put them on and go sell them to the owner to get the change order sold, right? And so now I review five or six different subs into a change order proposal, right? And you're reading it and like, you don't know all the nitty gritty details of what we're going on the job site. I mean, you sort of know what's going on, right? But you're reading it and I don't know that much stuff about AV, for instance, right? So I'm reading it and it's all just jibber jabber. It's like, you know, they could be speaking Japanese. I don't know. You're reading it. It's like, we have to have five of these widgets and 10 of those widgets. I'm like, how, what? Like they just did this thing. And so I think like if learning who your final audience is, somebody that doesn't have the same technical knowledge that you have when you're writing it and really kind of telling a story, right? In your change order proposal. I'm going to kind of go real down deep on this one little topic, but even just then, so telling the story, because if you do a change order proposal and it's 200 hours, you know, somebody like me is sitting there, I'm like, 200 hours, it seems like a lot of time. But you say, well, it's 10 hours for this thing, it's 10 hours for this thing, it's 30 hours for this thing, and you really break it up and explain how you get to 200. And then I see that and I'm like, oh, yep, makes sense. You just check it and move on, you know, and you don't have to question it. And so there's just stuff like that I've kind of realized, like, you know, because you don't realize, you may not see the bigger picture, you don't realize the steps beyond that, right? Or you may not see the interaction of how the architect and engineer is really interacting with the contractor and the owner and all these sort of things, or really kind of what the owner's pain points might be, you know?
Yeah, sure. Now tell me about this side hustle that's kind of grown out of your construction side.
Yeah, so Construction Yeti it's growing. It seems to be growing fast and fast. I almost can't slow it down, it feels like sometimes. But so it all sort of started in January of 2020. I started ConstructionYeti.com. It was a blog. My idea was like, I'm going to write these articles because I recently kind of came to the owner's rep side. And so I was learning all kinds of stuff. And like, I'm really good at just going and I want to go figure stuff out of myself. I want to go Google it. I want to watch a YouTube video. I want to learn how to do it myself. Like I'll learn better by me figuring it out than by you telling me. You know what I mean? And so I'm really good at that. But I realize like a lot of people aren't. A lot of people need to be mentored and helped and taught and that sort of stuff. But I like to experiment and figure it out and do it wrong. And they're like, oh, that didn't work. Okay, this is the way you do it. So anyway, I spent a lot of time kind of moving to this side of the thing on Google and all that sort of stuff. And I realized like there's not a lot of really good construction management, construction articles, information out there. There's some stuff, but you're going down a rabbit trail and you'll end up like some general contractor's website. And you're reading it, you find out real quickly, like this was written by somebody that has no idea what they're talking about. It's like somebody writing a marketing article because they know they need to put something on the blog and they are, you know, writing something and it's just, they don't know what they're talking about. And so you end up kind of just going down that trail. So like, it'd be cool to start a blog that was from somebody in the construction industry, kind of sort of niche topics, right? And really that sort of knows what they're talking about. Hopefully I know what I'm talking about, but that was the idea. And then I'll grow it and I'll get a million viewers every week and or whatever. And then I'll put some ads on there or whatever. And I'll make $1 million. That was kind of the idea. Not real well thought out. But anyway, so I started putting articles on there. And then, you know, 3 months later, COVID hit and the whole world shut down March 2020. And the project I was on actually went to overdrive because we were, it was an open community college, right? But we were supposed to be working around all the students. Well, all the students disappeared overnight. So we're like, we got to go into overdrive. We don't know how long this is going to last. So everybody put on their masks and basically, so everything sped up real fast. And then just kind of with all the other drama in the world and stuff like that, I stopped writing on it. So then, you know, a year later, I don't know if you've ever really written blog articles or done SEO and all that sort of stuff. It takes 6 months, 9 months, a year before you get any sort of traffic. And so I was kind of kept looking, I was like, man, these articles I put on there are starting to get some traffic and like getting some views and some like that sort of stuff. So I wanted to revamp it, but I saw some people doing these newsletter articles or newsletter emails, right? And so I revamped it as that in June of 22. So I revamped it as kind of like a weekly newsletter. And it kind of gave me a weekly deadline because like I got to put this out every week. So I've got a deadline. So it kind of helped me stay accountable. And then through that, I didn't realize I was naive and dumb, I guess. But like I just met a whole lot of really cool, interesting people. One of them was you. All right. We had a conversation a long time ago when I first started. One of them was Kyle Grandel. We had a lot of talks and then me and him decided like we need to do something together. And that's where the podcast was born. And I was like, hey, we should do a podcast. Cause I was doing like these video interviews. People call it a podcast. It's not a podcast. It's just a video interview. Whatever. And so I was like, we should do a podcast. And he's like, sounds good. I'm like, you know how to do it? He's like, not a clue. Like, yeah, me neither. So we went and figured it out. And I think the first 5 episodes were not even on anything. They were on YouTube and on Substack where I host the whole thing. I hadn't figured out how to get them on Apple or anything like that yet. So it took me, I think, 5 weeks to get them, figure out how to get them uploaded to Apple and Spotify and everything, but they're all up there now. So that was the long, long bit of the short story anyway.
Yeah. How do you fit it all in?
That's everybody asks that. Because I'm fairly active on LinkedIn as well, because I had to get active on LinkedIn if I'm going to sell a free newsletter, right? So I do a lot of stuff in the evening after my boys go to bed. You know, I may do something, you know, at lunch while I'm eating my sandwich I packed or, you know, something like that. There's a lot of little time in your day that you don't realize that there's little pockets of time here and there between things. And so, you know, there's times when, you know, I'll make a post in the morning, you know, before I go to work and on LinkedIn or whatever. And then, you know, people comment on it. I'm fairly active on responding to comments, but, you know, it's a 3-minute walk from my desk over to the job site. So I'll go look at the comments and reply back real quick and go do it. And so there's just a lot of little downtime kind of throughout your day. You kind of do a lot of that stuff. But actually, a piece of advice you gave me when I very first started all this, we were talking about things and I really want to talk to you about this podcast, actually, and kind of ask you kind of how it's going for you. And that's kind of starting this whole content creation journey. And I remember a piece of advice you gave me. It was, don't remember it verbatim, but it was something along the lines of like, don't go all in too fast. Right. Don't do hard. You told me a story about somebody who just basically went all in and they were everywhere and they burned out. And so that's kind of what I've really done ever since then. And so I started with the newsletter and then selling on LinkedIn. So it was like one social platform and one thing. And then as that, I kind of got that system down. And then the newsletter, you know, once you kind of get the system, the first time it took me a whole week long writing this thing and figuring out how to format it and doing this. And the next one, it took me half a week to figure it all out and all that sort of stuff. But now that I kind of got a format down, I kind of just copy, paste, go edit it, you know, change out the blocks and all that, but the structure is there. So it doesn't take me near as much time. And when I got that done, I got the podcast going. And once the podcast started, oh man, I was taking a lot of time. I had no clue. I didn't know nothing about video editing, nothing about how to upload a video or audio. I didn't even have a YouTube account, all this sort of thing. So the first week probably took me 2 weeks to get online. And then, you know, just once I got that down, now that takes me about, you know, it takes about an hour to record it, right? It's an hour show. And then it takes me about an hour to do everything on the prep side, you know, doing the photos, doing the promo photos, because I got a template on Canva. I go in there, change out the faces, change the words, boom, that's done. Go in there, the show notes. That's kind of all a format, right? Just copy, paste, blah, 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 do all that. And so it's once I got a system down, I kind of get that thing going really easy, real fast. That's kind of when I've taken on the next thing. So I don't know if that answers the question, but it's kind of been how I've done it.
Hey, you know what? I mean, I think you talk like it sounds obvious to everyone, but if they haven't gone through it, you know, they don't know, right? So
it's 100% not obvious. I mean, this is a year and a half in the making of me like spending way too much time, wasting time on stupid stuff to realize like, okay, what do I really need to do? What's important, you know?
Following up on that, what's worked, what hasn't worked?
In general or in some specific?
Yeah, with this newsletter and the media stuff you're doing, and I think you have some other stuff in the works. What's worked well? Because there's been lots of trial and error, I think you've gone through. So what's worked well? What hasn't worked and you'd had sort of discarded?
So when I started the newsletter, I do it on Substack, which Substack, they say is kind of a community and they try real hard to do a community. They've kind of got a Twitter notes type thing on there. I don't know. I mean, people post on it, but I don't really see any interaction. Maybe like the more famous writers they have on there, but somebody like me, nobody's interacting with my stuff. So they're real hard to build that community. And I thought like, okay, this will be cool. I'm going to do this newsletter on here. It's going to go out an email, but it's called Construction. It's the Construction Yeti is sort of the overall brand, but the title of the newsletter is Construction Curiosities because I wanted to leave it open-ended enough where it can be random. It's whatever I'm thinking about learning. And I wanted to kind of invite the audience to participate, right? What are you thinking about? What are you curious about? And like, so I kind of talk about something. I was hoping a lot of people would come in and in the comment section, we'd build a community and have a conversation there. When I first started it, I put out like a LinkedIn post that was like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And this is kind of what I want. I'll build a community. And I had like people from college I hadn't talked to in years, like reach out to me like, this is awesome. I'm going to participate. This is so cool. And like those sort of stuff. And I had some, I guess you'd call them like plants, right? Like, okay, cool. Like, I want you to go in there. I'm gonna do the first one next week. I want you to go and comment, get the conversation going. Perfect. I'll do it. Love it. Crickets. Nobody commented. Nobody did nothing. Like, man, you guys suck. Like, even the people that promised me and the ones that, you know, kind of led the charge, like, nobody did it. And so I kind of really pushed that for about 3 weeks, you know, like, really, like, or maybe even longer, like, go comment. Let's have a conversation. Let me know what you think. Nothing. So I realized what I was doing was I was sending out this article and it's kind of got, if you haven't read it yet, it's kind of got amusing, something I'm thinking about or want to talk about. Or now I've been doing the series of guest posts. So a guest musing of sorts, and then I'll have maybe an article and then I end up having a meme at the bottom. And I think people like the memes more than anything, but so that's kind of the format. And so I usually will then post it on LinkedIn, at least the summary, right? These are the things we talked about this week. Go check it out. Just trying to advertise it, trying to get more subscribers in that way. And I realized more people were commenting and the conversation I was wanting to happen on the Substack platform was actually happening in the comment section of LinkedIn posts. And so I kind of pivoted real quick and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this over here, but we're going to have the conversation over here. And so kind of like go meet the people where they're at. Don't try to pull them away and take them somewhere else. And so I'd end up posting and be like, you know, having the article and then say, this is what it's about. And people are like, I love the meme or the article. Or they start chiming about the article, but it was just, you know, a different place. So that's something we've had to pivot. I've realized like the meme thing, I've kind of really taken that as like my own. I love memes. Like I've ever loved them ever since the internet started, really. But, you know, it's always put a meme in that. I've started doing these videos, kind of video memes, I guess you'd call them. And I figured out how to do those. And like those are really getting a lot of traction on Instagram. So, and then I'm taking the best hits and the ones that are probably more LinkedIn appropriate, putting them on LinkedIn. But what I'm doing is like I'm catching people's attention kind of with the joke, like find a, you know, industry pain point, right? Kind of poke fun at it and then kind of get people's attention. And then you can have the real conversation about it. And so, you know, I had one a while back that was, it was actually something Jesse Hernandez had brought up about, you know, paid time off and basically taking time off, right? And so it was actually Theo Vaughn. And the title was something like, you know, when a superintendent actually takes his paid time off, his PTO. And then he was saying like, well, I'm not going to judge you, but everybody else is going to judge you. And then so, but poking fun at the issue, right? And it's like something everybody realized. And then just kind of having a little in the body of the text, actually talking about the topic. Those have done really well. And so it's something I've really kind of tried to pivot towards, like, okay, we can laugh about it and kind of get everyone's attention. Cause I think everyone in the construction industry, they like a good joke, right? It's kind of a dirty, messy, painful, stressful project. So we're always joking. There's a lot of like locker humor and that sort of stuff, but we all like a good joke. So being able to laugh at it and then actually have the real conversation. So that's something I've kind of pivoted into here lately.
Yeah, very cool. And then how does the branding consulting and stuff like that fit into it?
What I'm doing, the branding consulting and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. You see, you're looking for construction. You're trying stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's the vision there?
I'm always experimenting. And that's one thing I liked about this is it's like I'm not really making any money. Like some people have went and subscribed to the Substack and it's kind of let me quote, keep the lights on. Like it pays for my Canva subscription. It pays for my, you know, these little subscriptions to kind of, so I'm not having to go in my own pocket, but I'm definitely not making any money. But I'm always kind of experimenting and learning and that sort of stuff. But what I've learned is I've learned a lot about storytelling and about copywriting and about what works on social media and specifically LinkedIn and stuff like that. And I'm wanting to run I kind of put out the little promo earlier this week, and what you're hinting at was if I can create a cohort of construction executives and see if I can't help them with their personal branding and storytelling and their create content creation, because there's such a opportunity out there right now. And I'm really reaching out to construction executives because it's really kind of a couple of reasons. One, they're probably less likely to have their office looking over their shoulder on what they're posting, right? As much, you know, they're not going to get all their stuff screened. So they'll have a little bit more free will to post about stuff then. And I'll have, you know, take that post down, you know, that sort of stuff. Two, their brand is more closely tied to the company brand, right? Because construction executives, a lot of times, like I'm the president of whatever company. So whatever I'm doing really kind of hand in hand with the company. But people don't like companies. Like they don't care about the company. They care about the person, right? I can't even pronounce Castagra, but I know who Tats is.
Castagra, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those sort of things. And so really helping people build their personal brand to help elevate the business brand. And then thirdly, it's probably if it's a construction executive, they're more likely to write that sort of stuff off as a business expense so I can charge more. So that's probably my personal part. But the idea is to help them elevate their content creation game and personal branding, just based on what I've learned. And it's more of like a gym trainer is kind of how it. So like, I don't understand ghostwriters. Like I do, but I don't. Like if I'm going to write for you, like I have to know your voice. I have to know, I have to write it to like I'm Tats, but I'm not, right? So it's kind of, there's a disconnect. But if you're writing, you know, your own stuff, but I'm just keeping you accountable. I'm helping you. I'm giving you tips. Like if you go to the gym, the gym trainer's not lifting the weights for you. You're lifting the weights. He's helping you with your form and your technique and helping you here. Like, oh, don't do that because that's not, you know, the algorithm hates when you put 500 hashtags in there. Like, don't do that. You know, just little stuff like that that I've kind of learned. So I'm kind of looking at more like a gym trainer type thing. And then the other part I haven't really told anybody is the idea is to kind of gamify it a little bit where you kind of put something on the line to make bank it painful. So if you tell me you want to do, and I don't know if anybody will even fall for this part, not fall for it, but they're interested in this, right? But so if you tell me it's everyone's own goals. So if I was working with you, Tats, and you would say, I want to post 5 times a week on LinkedIn. That's my goal, right? I'm doing 0 today. I want to do 5 times or whatever it is. Okay, cool. And I'm going to keep you accountable, right? Like what's your goal? Monday through Friday. So like a Monday, it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, hey, you haven't posted. What's your deal? Come on. Like you got to get this going. And so kind of helping them with the accountability part, but also, so if you don't reach your goal, you sort of put up a, whatever's going to be painful for you. Right. And so somebody might be $100, somebody might be $1,000, right. Or for this thing, whatever's gonna be painful for them. So, and then there's a cohort, remember? So it's like 5 people in this cohort. So if you don't reach your goal, well, you have to take your loss and distribute it amongst the other people in the group. And so it kind of makes it fun. It gamifies it. It plays on that loss aversion that people have too. There's a lot of people, I mean, I kind of stole this from gyms because there's gyms out there that'll make you pay when you don't show up to the gym because people pay for the gym, right? And you never go.
I'm so interested in that. Okay, so how does that work? Because the thing is, I originally, when I very, very first started, I started in the fitness industry and I've never seen that executed. So how does it work?
I've never actually seen it executed either. I've seen the headlines. So I think the way it goes is, because right, if you have a gym membership, maybe you pay on the first of the month. Well, whether you go to the gym or you don't go to the gym, you've already paid your money. So there's not really any financial incentive for you to go. And then the first of the month comes around again and you pay, right? It just pulled out of your bank account, right? It just disappears and like, all right, I'm going to go this month. Well, then you never go. And so the way, I don't know how it really works, but it's something where
it's interesting.
Every time you don't go to the gym, you have to pay. And so it creates a financial incentive to go. There's like some sort of fee you have to pay or something like that.
It's interesting because most gyms' business models are based on not going.
I know, because they want to be able to like have a million people, and they know they can only hold 15, like, because they don't want you there. But I've seen those headlines anyway. So that's kind of the idea I stole, was like, okay, well, whatever's painful for you. And I can't make it. I don't want to get in trouble with gambling or anything like that, right? Where you're wagering something. And so the thought was like, okay, well, if there's 500 people or five people in this cohort, I mean, and you wager $500 for your goal this week and you fail, well, you've got to give everybody $100. And so like, I'm not taking money. That's not gambling, but it kind of keeps a game going.
Now, one of the things I noticed about your approach that was different than others was early on, or at least early as in when I noticed what you were doing, is you would spend a lot of time going to other people's profiles, leaving thoughtful content, mm-hmm. consuming other people's content and leaving thoughtful content, and just getting involved in helping, or I don't know, just taking the time to figure out what other people are doing in a meaningful way. I must imagine it was a ton of time investment on the front end, but certainly I think that set you apart.
It was kind of I don't think it was intentional, but now that I've done that, I've told everybody else to go do that too. It's something that I've realized on the back end. People are like, how do I get started? I'm like, well, here's how you get started. Because you're going to post something and you're going to have no followers or nobody, right? You're going to have the people that you've worked with over the last decade or whatever, how long you have LinkedIn, but they're not active on LinkedIn. They don't care. You have to go find the people that are actually active on there. And so I would go and I'd find people, and like, and I'm always learning. Like, that's one thing I've liked about LinkedIn is people are like, there's a lot of like billboard ads, right? People put, I mean, I do it with the podcast or whatever, like, hey, new podcast out. Here it is. Go check it out. But there's a lot of people putting out really thoughtful content and really trying to help people. And so you kind of start finding those people and you're like, man, I'm actually learning something from this guy. And then so you start following them, and then you kind of get sucked into that ecosystem too, right? So you start commenting on this person, and then somebody comments, you're like, hey, that guy looks smart. Let me, or that girl goes, looks smart. Let me go follow them. And you kind of go check out their stuff, and they're just posting real cool things. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying a minute ago. Like, I've just, through this whole process, like, I've just met a lot of, I say met, like, it's all virtual almost, because like, it's a virtual community sort of. Like, I mean, I met you, I met all these other people. I mentioned Jesse Hernandez a minute ago. He lives like 3 hours from me, 3.5 hours from me, which is close in everything I'm doing. And like, I've never met him face to face, you know what I mean? But like, we've talked a bunch, but it's really became a cool networking thing, right? And so doing that, and I've been telling other people to go on there. And like, if you want to get started easy on LinkedIn, you don't know what to post, or, you know, cause it's hard when you're starting and you're looking at a blank screen, you're like, leave something, just write a thoughtful note. Like, I don't even know where to start. But if you go and to follow other people that are doing really well and are posting smart stuff, then it's really easy because they've already given you a prompt, right? And you can just like, whether you agree, disagree or whatever, you can add to it.
Yeah. Very cool. How do you see this all playing out for you?
I'm going to be a billionaire in about 3 years. I have no clue, man. I'm just kind of, if you ask me, we've been doing the podcast since February. So nine months, geez. So if you asked me 10 months ago, if I'd ever be doing a podcast, I'd have told you you're crazy. I don't know. I'm just kind of, I guess, riding the wave and figuring it all out, figuring out what works, what doesn't work, learning a ton, having fun, meeting people. It's kind of, I don't know.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Yeah. So again, it's just, I mean, it's open doors to meet people. I've kind of got real interested in kind of construction technology stuff. I've met some people there that have kind of been helping a little bit here and there. So I don't know. We'll see where it takes us.
Absolutely. Exploring is fun. Is there anything that I did not ask you, but you want to share?
I don't think so. I mean, I've appreciated the community that's kind of been built around there. And again, like, I mean, I've kind of said this, but like the networking that's came out of all this has probably been the biggest, I mean, my personal biggest thing. And so I've really sort of made it a goal of mine to kind of give back to the next generation of construction. And I think by me doing that, and that's something I really personally believe in. Like, I think the industry, I mean, everyone says it, everybody knows, like, the industry is kind of a tipping point. You got this generation retiring and not many people coming in. And like, when I was starting out, I didn't have a good mentor. I worked for a real small company. I was a project manager way before I should have been a project manager. Like, in hindsight, I thought I was ready, you know, when you're young and dumb and eager and I can do it. And in hindsight, I was like, I had no clue what I was doing. Absolutely no clue. And I was just on Google and figuring it out and making mistakes and sending really nasty emails and realizing like that probably wasn't a good idea and just kind of doing stuff the wrong way. There's a lot of people like me. And that's why me and Kyle Grandel started the CM Mentors podcast. It was like a CM for construction managers, mentors, because he had the same sort of experience. He just kind of had to figure out as he was going. So like, man, if we could provide a resource to kind of help those people that were in our shoes, you know, where we were at 13, 15 years ago, would do that. And so by us doing that, it's so crazy. Like, we don't even ask for anything, right? Just go subscribe, listen to it. Like, people are reaching out to us and like, you almost get more back, like without even asking, right? And it's funny, like, as I mentioned earlier about the goal, I found that like, I'm not a good salesman at all. Like, if you look at the Construction Yeti Substack growth chart, like, you challenged me to get 2,000 subscribers and come on the podcast. I just crossed over 1,500. It's like a steady chart. I mean, it's got some bumps and stuff as we've gone. Like, I made a big push when we hit 52 weeks for 1 year to get to 1,000, and we got there. It was a big bump there because I was like posting all the time, but like, I'm not a salesman at all, I realized. And so like, I was like, this was being on here. I was like, I want to hit 2,000. This is going to be my excuse. I'm going to use this excuse to really sell it. And I made a couple of posts like, go, 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 subscribe. And like, I feel so fake. Like, just keep doing, like, putting out good content, keep helping people. And then like, the organic stuff feels so much better when people can organically go subscribe. And then I'll just get a random message, a random email, somebody I've never met, don't even know who they are. Like, hey man, like, I appreciate the content you're putting out. I appreciate the podcast. It's really helping me. Keep doing what you're doing. Like, I love it. Dang, man. Like, you don't even think, there's time when you don't think anybody's listening or paying attention, but people really are. So it's kind of really kept us going. So it's been cool.
Oh, very cool. Appreciate the sharing your story. And I can only see good things for you going forward.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It's been fun. And I appreciate you and your whole team. Y'all been a huge support. Every time I post something, you guys are always there to at least like it or something. So you guys have been awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Specify Growth podcast today. Make sure you check out youtube.com/TatsTalks for video of today's podcast. Hit the subscribe button for upcoming episodes.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.